listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Can I kick it to my tribe that flows in layers? Right now, Fife is the poinsayer. At times, I'm the studio conveyor. Mr. Dinkins, could you please be my mayor? You'll be doing us a really big favor. Boy, this track really has a lot of flavor. When it comes to the rhythm's quest is your savior. Follow us for the funky behavior. Make a note of the rhythm we gave you. Feel free, drop your pants, jack your hair. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhyme rhythm recipe that your savior. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with rhythm player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
One more day to our Game of Thrones recap, which everybody is.
Yay, I'm excited.
Probably looking forward to, or if they're not looking forward to it, they're probably hating on us and hating on the show and don't want to hear it, which is fine too.
Well, man, don't worry about it. It's the second to last one.
Yeah, so
it'll be over soon.
Almost done. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and the unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Let's get right into the podcast. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in the news, guys. Empire and Star, which are both Lee Daniel shows, are being canceled by Fox.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So I guess after Disney bought them, they said that's enough of these nigger shows and gonna get them right on off the air.
Who so, was watching Star?
I don't know, but I didn't know until I saw a commercial for it this week, actually, that Queen Latifah's in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she was like supposed to be the star of it or something, or one of the stars of it or something.
Yeah, it just didn't look interesting. That's why I never watched.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, man, because, you know, it's people that don't like Game of Thrones that be watching these shows. And
come on.
I don't think I can trust y'all's opinions about plots and nuance and stuff. But the other part of it is between this and our other news, which was, you know, Steve Harvey's TV show got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And he was replaced as the host of NBC's Little Big Shots.
Oh, that's his other show. Oh no, they getting completely rid of him, ain't they?
I guess so. They replaced him with Melissa McCarthy.
I know he looked up like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else can he say? He didn't see this coming.
Apparently there are tensions between NBC Universal and Endeavor's IMG original content.
Oh, which probably had nothing to do with him, and they were just like, mm-mm.
Over ownership stake in the show, which ultimately sold the working relationship between Harvey and NBC, as he revealed during an interview in January. I'm an honorable guy. I'm just an old school guy. I just thought that you're supposed to talk to people and go, look, you've been good business for us. This is what we're thinking of doing. Are you okay with that? No, you don't just put something in paper and say, I'm going to make this move right here because it's crazy. Now as a result, Harvey's producers are looking to shop around a namesake talk show in an attempt to get it picked up by another network.
Mm, which may happen.
And in the meantime, his hosting gig on Little Big Shots has been replaced by Melissa McCarthy after 3 seasons on that show. Man, you hate to see it.
Yeah, the Fan of Feud is his thing though.
Yeah. You hate to see it, but you know who would like to see it?
Who?
Monique.
Yeah.
She, Lee Daniels and Steve Harvey. I mean, if Oprah gets something canceled next, then we know it's the curse of Monique.
she been out here on it.
Like, this is, things are coming up roses for her. She in that, them Childish Gambino commercials and stuff. I mean, she doing her thing. Tiffany Haddish to executive produce and host Kids Say the Darndest Things revival for ABC. That seemed like a kind of thing that Steve Harvey could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he seemed like he would be real good at making faces at them kids saying the darndest things.
He'd be real good at that,
you know. But Tiffany Haddish I think could do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But good for her, she's executive producing it, so you know that's the come up. Like, she making power moves,
come on.
And I think she would be good with them kids saying crazy shit and then her acting all, you know, all goofy about them saying something crazy, because that's the whole gig, you know.
Yes.
They say something crazy, you walk away 3 feet, put your hand on your head, like, oh, this motherfucker is crazy, you know. Let's see what else happened. Denver became the first to decriminalize psychedelic mushrooms. First U.S. city. So you can now do mushrooms and get high and no repercussions.
No repercussions for white people.
Yeah, do black people do mushrooms though? Like, this feels like something that I was actually surprised that this wasn't already legal, because it's such a white drug. I was like, oh, that's you can't do that.
You can't do that. Yeah, and the thing is, like every other drug, like marijuana, they decriminalizing it, but they still arrest us at a high rate. So is it really free? You know, come on now.
Yeah, I don't know about mushrooms though. I just, not that you're wrong, just I don't know if niggas is doing mushrooms like that. Like, weed was one where it was gonna be a disproportionate effect on our community because niggas smoke weed just like white people smoke weed. I wonder if niggas do mushrooms like white people do mushrooms, you know. And
that I don't know.
Yeah, and that's not no shade, but some shit is cultural, and yep. Maybe in Denver it's different, but you know, I just never been around a nigga that's like, yo, I'm about to do some shrooms real quick.
Mm-mm. Most niggas would be like, look, I do some weed, but I'm not doing that shit to make a trip.
Like, maybe if it's like an edible brownie or something, I've seen people kind of do that.
Correct.
You know, but you don't really, I don't know, just recreational. And like, maybe I'm just not in that circle. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Saying people do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, well, if y'all say they do, man, then they do.
I don't know what's the percentage of the population, but
yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, niggas don't even rap about doing mushrooms. Like, we rap about smoking weed, a bunch of shit. Niggas do not even rap about that shit, so it's just kind of weird. And I'm not saying there's 0%, not right. All black people, please don't be stupid, right, about this shit. I'm talking generally. If I was to walk into a party and start asking for shrooms for some black people, I wonder if, yeah, I could get some caps, or if they would be, mm-hmm, on some like, nigga, what? Why are you trying to do that white shit? Come over here and smoke weed with us.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? I just wonder, cause that's what, when we're talking about criminalization, right, of it, we're talking about the idea that we do it at the same, you know, similar race, right, to white people. So therefore we would be disproportionately affected as they criminalize us, for some shit that white people are doing and being let go for. So I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I'm asking the question, is it truly that dangerous for us? You know, cause I have no idea. You know, I hope niggas ain't in Denver getting arrested for a handful of mushrooms right now and they letting Chad go home free.
Come on.
You know, so anyway, they are legalizing it. Oregon and California will have similar votes coming up in 2020. You know, hey man, something like this, that doesn't really seem to hurt anybody. I don't know why, you know, why that would have to stay illegal. If weed can be legal, if alcohol is legal, which hurts way more people, I don't know why that couldn't be legal. I mean, I think there's gonna get a point where they're gonna have to say certain drugs are like too dangerous, you know, heroin, Oxycontin, yeah, and shit, yeah, like
there's some drugs that they're gonna be like, no, and to an extent I understand. All the drugs can't be off the list, right. I know people don't want to hear that, but all the drugs just cannot be off the list.
And the thing is also, and maybe it's just because of my naivety and squareness, but I haven't heard of anybody like, you know, like getting addicted to mushrooms. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to suck dick for mushrooms because I just couldn't get a job and shit. Like, I haven't heard of that one yet. You know, mm-hmm, maybe it exists, but I ain't heard of it. Common, the rapper, reveals he was molested in his new book. And actress Laura Dern helped him remember. Shout out to Dominic Rivera. He hates Laura Dern for some reason, but she out here helping people. Common is opening up for the first time about a deeply painful experience, one he's coming to terms with. And the Grammy Oscar winning rapper, actor, activist, 47, has just released his new memoir, Let Love Have the Last Word, in which he reflects on his personal journey with love and knowledge he gleaned from therapy. In the book, he shares that it wasn't until 2 years ago, while workshopping a scene with his actress friend Laura Dern, that a haunting memory of being molested as a kid suddenly came back to him. The actors were preparing for their roles in the tale. One day, while talking about the script with Laura, old memories surprisingly flashed in my mind. I caught my breath and just kept looping the memories over and over, like rewinding the old VHS tape, and I said, Laura, I think I was abused. Common goes on to share how he now recalls happening to him when he was just 9 or 10 while growing up in Chicago. I was excited for a road trip. I was about to take my family, my mother, my godmother, Barbara, her son, and her godbrother, Skeet, and his relative, who I'll call Brandon. It's crazy how even after all this time, people have to respect that, and like, we give the abuser, alleged abuser, like the anonymity,
yeah,
of the thing.
People, it's backlash to it, and some people go, I want to tell my story, but you're gonna deal with backlash regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the thing is, a lot of times, because the way society is set up, people come out and you don't know how the person is going to respond. They could say it wasn't me, they could turn around and sue you, you know, like, you don't never know what's going to happen.
Right. Arriving at his aunt's house in Cleveland, Common says he and Brandon were made to share a bed together one night for the trip. At some point, I felt Brandon's hand on me. He writes, I pushed him away. I don't remember saying a whole lot besides no, no, no. But Common says his abuser would not stop. He kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. He pulled down my shorts and molested me. After he stopped, he asked me to perform it on him. I kept repeating no and pushed him away. The rapper felt, so I felt a deep and sudden shame for what had happened. To cope, the Glory singer believes he buried the painful memories. I just pushed the whole thing out of my head. Maybe it's a matter of survival. Even now, 2 years after the flash resurgence of memories, as I'm writing, still working through all the stuff. All this in myself and with my therapist. The star says that he has never spoken about the one-time incident with the accused, who he hasn't seen in over 25 years, but he has forgiven him for his and others' sake. I want to be a person who helps break cycles of violence. This is love in action. I intend to practice it. You know, the thing I think about in a couple things here. One, how often people assume folks haven't had experiences like this, and you yourself don't know for sure. Like, you could have one, a breakthrough of some type. You could have, like, people talk about this all the time, suppressed memories. It's not a, it's not just some, like, TV show bullshit. Like, it really does happen to people where they're like, oh, fuck, I remember this thing.
Yeah, and also, as you get older and as you learn new words and things have definition, you begin to get to the point where things that you thought were common, as you get out in the world, you be like, something about that wasn't right. And then you be like, oh shit, I was molested. Oh shit, I was raped. Oh shit, I was abused. You know, because people that are abused, particularly children, the abuse is normal to them. So if something is normal to you, you don't think or see anything wrong with
it. Well, this wasn't normal. It doesn't sound like this was normal to him. It doesn't sound like he didn't think it was wrong. In this particular case, he literally repressed the memory. So I'm just speaking to that specifically when I'm making the points I was about to make, is because a lot of times we assume people don't know what they're talking about, or people don't have any experience with something. And a lot of times, you know, no pun intended, but this shit has touched a lot of people.
Yes, it has.
You know, and so for us to be, oh, this person of privilege that has never had this thing, you don't know that. You literally don't know. You know, it's easy to just look at a panel of people or look at one person and be like, that person has never had, you don't know. None of us know. And then when you attach the second thing, the shame he immediately felt as a kid that you carry with you as a man, because you think this makes you less of a man. I don't want to be a victim, all this type of shit. So now you got this fight to not tell people, even when you do know.
Correct. And about the oppressed piece about it, yeah, even people that, because he felt shame and things like that, but there are people that might not feel that, and they could still oppress this stuff, and it could come up years later.
Repress.
Yeah. I'm sorry, repress, and it could still come up years later.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just interesting because, you know, you see this often with people saying, well, so, like, this, you know, this show, this, I don't like seeing sexual assault in a plot of a story. I don't like this. And it's very, you know, like, high-minded, like, kind of, you know, it's kind of like the people that go, like, rape should be off-limit as a topic, racism should be off-limit as a topic. And it's like, it depends on a lot of moving factors.
Yeah, and it's silly, but a lot of people have this, well, nobody's been abused till you tell me. That's not true.
And you know, I'm always happy that people like this find the courage to come out and say stuff, you know, men, women, anyone that's you know, like, I'm always applauding people for that. But at the same time, it's sad that we live in a place where unless you like come out, people don't even want you to like talk about these things. They don't really want you to have an opinion, you know, on the shit. They don't want you to be involved in, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so weird the way we get down about this. And then the third thing I was thinking is, I know his rap used to be like kind of homophobic when he first started, and that makes me think about that shit too, you know, like that vitriol that he used to have to say that shit with. Even like, well, after he started to be conscious, known as a conscious rapper and woke and shit, he still had homophobic bars and shit. And I know he doesn't anymore, I don't believe, but it just makes you think, like, where does this kind of shit come from, you know? So anyway, let's see what else happened. Well, might as well keep it going. There's a couple more stories dealing with sexual assault and rape here. The Alabama bill that is you know, trying to be an anti-abortion bill,
mm-hmm.
will also criminalize false rape accusations. A bill making it a crime to, it's a different bill. There's a different bill besides them trying to consider the heartbeat abortion bill. They have another bill to criminalize people who falsely accuse someone of a sexual crime. The bill introduced by Representative Dickie Drake, who's a Republican, of course, would make falsely reporting a crime a Class C felony, punishable by 10 years in prison. If the accused was proven innocent, the accuser would be responsible for paying the accused person's legal expenses.
That's fucking ridiculous, because people come out all the time, and not all the time, but people that have been abused that are brave enough to come out all the time, 99.9% of the time, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to prove it. And most of the time, they know that those people end up losing most of the time. So all you're telling people is, you better not come out, because we're going to publicly shame and punish you and throw your ass in jail. That's the thing. You want people to stop reporting rape.
Yeah, right. So there's already a law on the books against making a false police report in Alabama.
Correct.
So why would there need to be a specific anti-rape one? This is the thing that happens when the pushback to things such as the Me Too movement and Time's Up isn't one of, you know, idealistic, but it's like, we must protect men, and men have already been protected by the law, just the same way like anyone of privilege is normally protected by the law, white people, straight people, stuff. But it's this thing that happens, right? People start getting rights, people start getting a voice, people start having movements to say, hey, we've been pushed down, we've been marginalized, we've been abused. Now we want to speak up and we want more to be done about it. And then people go, it's equal and opposite sides. So the equal and opposite pushback to Me Too is, we need to criminalize any woman who falsely accuses somebody of rape. Now, this is already a crime. But let's throw something else out there. Two more things I would think of. One, this is going to make sure that if someone does falsely accuse someone, they definitely ain't trying to admit that shit. You know what I mean? Like, before, it was like, you would still have people that would relent, quote unquote, afterwards, and then that's how you get people out of prison. Well, if I know I gotta go to prison for 10 years and I did lie, I'm sticking with that lie to my grave. Why would I ever go to prison for 10 years for this? But then the second thing is, what you're trying to do is intimidate women from even accusing anyone, right, even when they have enough evidence, because most people who accuse someone of rape will not get justice, and they won't, not in a courtroom, not in a police station, nowhere. Most people who have been sexually assaulted will have a hard time proving that it was a non-consensual sexual assault that occurred and that this person did it. Most of the time it's from someone you know. So you have men who will go, or people who will go, but mostly men, will say stuff like, you know, it was consensual. yeah, we, it's not rape, it was consensual. Me and this person know each other, you know, this is and why'd you go to this house? How many times have we heard that? Why were you wearing that? Why'd you go alone to be with this man? You must have Harvey Weinstein's hotel room. You must have thought it was going, you know, like there's just no consideration to the facts of the matter, what the victim is saying, what the survivor is saying, any of that shit. So I think it's kind of damning that they're basically trying to say, don't accuse anybody unless they basically jump out of the bushes and assault you in a park or something,
and still don't come forth, because we don't even really care about that.
I would like to clarify, I think it matters, because that's the one type of sexual assault that most people will honor, which is a stranger did something to a person that they don't even know. You like okay, DNA tied this person to a crime in the park, they won't go, oh well, that was consensual, don't come forward, that sexual assault. That's the one time people go, we gotta get these rapists off the streets. But if you were to say, my cousin did that to me, then it's, you're breaking up the family, you're being divisive, are you sure you didn't want that? You know, oh, so this guy you were dating did it, someone at a bar, you see what I'm saying? Like, I just want to make sure that there's a difference that I'm distinguishing here, because one of these, even Republicans would be like, okay, yeah, that's terrible. But if you like get drunk at a party, then they don't care. It's a stranger. You see what I'm saying? Go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
But it sounded like, I just wanted to clarify, one of these does matter. To one of those, it's not any better, but you can get a consensus on.
Yeah, for the most part. But the thing is, it's all around just fucked up. Like, and let's say you get a conviction. Old boy raped the girl, was caught raping her, he got a slap on the wrist. What the fuck is that? That's not justice.
What happens when you lose a case?
Right. According to what you said, you're gonna have to pay for your shit and they shit too.
And possibly go to jail. What happens if you just lose the case though? Like, they did it. There's just, the court of law requires a stringent amount of, they require normally a stringent amount of evidence to convict someone.
And they know this.
Right. So, like, there's very few people who are sitting in prison on a false rape accusation and just, you know what I'm saying, with an open and shut case. It's normally some, like, you know, something like racial factor involved or something like that. But let's just say that you lose the case. You accuse this guy. You accuse the guy and the jury just doesn't find in your favor. You know, they go, oh, it could have been consensual. We'll never know. Can that guy turn around and say, I was found not guilty. I want to sue this person and I want them to go to jail. Cause now you just allow a rapist to re-victimize their survivor twice, you know what I'm saying, like to come back at them. So it's almost like, why go to trial? Like, you're scaring me out of going to even go to trial, to even testify. It's already hard to get people to testify in court about these things.
Come on.
Considering sometimes you have to go multiple times. I mean, look at the case with Nate Parker, where the woman had to go to trial so many times, she didn't come the last time, and that's how he got quote-unquote acquitted, you know?
Right, who wants to fucking go through that 4, 5, 6 times? Come right on.
And people walk, and if you look how people talk about him, they walk around like innocent, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, I don't know why, you know, fuck these transcripts, fuck everything he said, fuck the trial, fuck the first time, he an innocent person, and because I want him to be innocent, that's the end of the discussion. And imagine a world where then a person that is found quote unquote innocent after all that could be able to say, yeah, I'm suing you, and also I want you to go to prison. You know, it just seems like the same type of shit as the abortion, the heartbeat law.
Yeah, because how dare you demand rights over your body? Because that's what it right. is women saying, hey, don't touch me unwanted, and you know, to them, women are property.
And men and women.
Right, just anybody abused. Yeah,
because I mean, men are even less likely to report it. 3 out of 4 mm-hmm. already don't get reported. 3 out of 4 now. This before you start factoring in this new law if it passes. Like,
so all you're gonna do, all you're telling this rapist, it's okay to rape. That's literally all you're telling rapists, is that it's okay to just go out here and just fuck shit
and
up.
And keep in mind, this is the only time Republicans won't keep anybody out of jail.
Right.
the only time they want to keep anyone out of jail, because they're really just worried about their sons and shit going off to these colleges and coming back with some type of like sexual assault accusations, you know. And they just try to scare these women into like, hey, close your legs and stay away from all men and only have sex to procreate and get married, and that's it, because we must control your body. All right, last story along this vein. A British man has been convicted of rape after removing a condom during sex.
Yes, that is right.
Yep. Tuesday, Lee Hogben, a 35-year-old man from Bournemouth, was sentenced to 12 years in prison after raping a woman in a hotel when he chose to remove the condom before being used during sex. This comes months after a landmark case in Germany found a police officer guilty of sexual assault for the same crime, known popularly as stealthing. Yeah, it should be a crime. It should be considered sexual assault, and you should go to prison for it.
Right.
I'm like, you are literally playing with people's lives. You're already having sex, so what the fuck? Like, if you can't come to, like, if you can't say, and we're not talking about people like condoms breaking and shit. Mm-mm. Willfully removing a condom to, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, she don't, particularly straight. Whoever, they don't know where your dick been, dog. Don't know where your dick been.
Right. Like, and then also, like, the other part of it that's wild to me is that there's people that feel like there's another side to this.
What other side is it?
There are people that feel like stealthing is not, like, it's not wrong. Like, well, I did get consent to have sex with you.
Yes, that's, with the condom.
Right. And they'll also be like, it's our right as men, like we had a right to have intercourse in the way it was intended and shit like that. I kid you not, they really will fucking say that shit, which is scary as fuck if you're a woman out here, because it's not like they're saying that to the woman. Because if you say, let me tell you something, if you said that to her on a date, guess what you're not gonna get to do? You know what I mean?
Like, you're not gonna get to fuck her.
If you pulled out the condom and then she was like yeah, so make sure you put this on. You said, well, I think I have a right to your body and this is the natural way to procreate. Yeah, she would be like, well, then get out. You know, it's crazy. And sex is like such a, I know the new wave and maybe, you know, whatever, however people feels how they feel. I don't share the feelings, to be honest, is that sex is just is like really throwaway thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really that intimate of an act. And that is not that important. And if you don't feel that way, it doesn't have to be. But I would like to add, it's so fucking dangerous to me. And it's so fucking intimate to me because of what's being involved. Like, your body is being involved in this thing.
What?
So for someone to violate that should require a heavy penalty, because it's not casual to me to do this to someone. Whether it be a casual hookup or not, it becomes unfucking casual with the second, you know what I'm saying? It's like
you cross those lines.
Yeah, it's like if it's like we casually go out to eat every day, right? We go out to eat casually, hey, we have a casual dinner between friends. It doesn't have to be important, just friends go out to eat. But if every once in a while at the dinner you could hop across the table and stab me with a steak knife, I would be a little less inclined to treat that casually. That's a pretty big faux pas, if you know what I mean. And so I think people are trying to act like, well, because sex is treated more casually than, or not people, the men who are into this shit, because sex is treated more casually, this should be no big deal. It's the biggest fucking deal.
The fuck? Because the thing is, all jokes aside, everybody ain't clean. Everybody don't take care of their bodies. It's all types of motherfucking STDs out there. People ain't getting vaccinated. Shit mutates. Next thing you know, you're gonna have an X gene of gonorrhea, some shit wiping folks out. No, I don't want what you got.
And sexual assault is not about it. Like, this is the most biggest proof. It's not about sex, right? Because you see this all the time. Men warning women about looking too good. Oh, if you wear these kind of clothes, if you go to these kind of places, you're gonna get sexually assaulted. And then you look in the paper every day and you see an 89-year-old woman was sexually assaulted. Yeah, I guarantee it wasn't what she had on.
Yep.
You know, but this is how a lot of men who are raised by rape culture think, right? Like, they don't think, because they're not hopefully not sexual assaulters, because they're not rapists. They're not connecting with the data and the research and the fucking accounts and the words from actual rapists who tell them, "Nah, it's not about a woman looking a certain way or mm-mm. doing some certain activity. Literally, it is just I want to have power." And there's nothing more, in my opinion, this right here is the most like nakedly, no pun intended, transparent that you can have the motivations, because you are having you are having consensual sex with a person when you have on the condom. So then the act of taking it off is about having the power to take away their choice from them, right? So that now they no longer are in control of their body and what is happening to them, even on a sneaky level,
right?
So your whole thing was, I'm turned on by the fact that you no longer have, I am making a power move over you. And that's what sexual assault is about, and that's why I would consider this rape.
Agree. All types of shit. Pregnancy, STDs, all types of shit. You stripping her of that choice.
Right. Just the fact that she don't want to do it should be enough. Like,
correct.
That's not how I would like to have sex. You know what I mean? That should be enough. But yeah, I'm glad the police are taking it serious. Now, this isn't the U.S. I don't know if we even have laws on the books against this. But clearly, we should, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Men ain't shit, because this, the group you're talking about, is a bunch of fucking men.
Right. So yeah, and I can't even imagine if you're like a sex worker and you have, and this happens, what do you do?
Come on.
Who do you even go to? That's crazy. Maryland lawmakers aim to make it easier for prosecutors to overturn wrongful convictions. So that's good.
Yes, that is.
You know, I mean, why would we want it to be hard for you to overturn a wrongful conviction? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are wrongfully convicted, and sometimes they say fuck it, and them people still stay in jail.
Maryland lawmakers passed a bill this week to allow prosecutors to overturn tainted or unjust convictions. Baltimore State's Attorney Office pushed for the measures that was sponsored by former state and federal prosecutor Dale Eric Barron. Delegate Eric Barron. The effort came after prosecutors hit roadblocks while trying to overthrow convictions connected to with a scandal tied to the gun trace task force, where officers were found to be abusive and corrupt in an investigation conducted by the Department of Justice in 2016. Prosecutors also dealt with similar issues while trying to overturn marijuana possession convictions after a policy. Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby said Wednesday that prosecutors across the state will soon have the procedural right to revisit convictions for those that were unfairly or wrongly convicted. Shout out to Marilyn Mosby. I remember during Freddie Gray, you know, she tried her best to like find something on those cops to like, you know, get the community some justice for Freddie Gray. And I know she caught hell from it. You know, I saw people kind of writing hit pieces on her and stuff. I still don't really understand why folks felt she needed to be taken down. I mean, I read the pieces and I still don't get it, to be honest. But I'm glad that she's committed to that work long after. And this is kind of that point where I'll, you know, not to make it about Kamala, but I'm about to make it about her. But we do need these kind of people as prosecutors. We need people like this at every step of the process. Yes, there are people that know that need to go to jail. You know, people do certain shit and it's just shit that you're like, that person need to be off the streets, you know. I know there's people that are like, you know, prison abolitionists, blah blah blah. I don't have all the answers. I just know that if it's a motherfucker out here like raping kids and shit, I don't want to hear some we'll have a stern talking to with them. Like, it has to be an alternative to this shit. So I get why you need a prosecutor that might be forceful and strong on certain type of convictions, but you also need a prosecutor who's willing to use their judgment, who's willing to use their judgment to be like, but these cases aren't that serious and we should not be convicting people for marijuana possession, because they have that power too. Hey, we need to drop this Jussie Smollett thing. It's ridiculous. Police can be mad. Police union can be mad. The mayor can be mad. Fuck them. It's a waste of our resources. I'm not doing it.
Raise the taxpayers' money.
You know? So I don't really believe or really co-sign the whole, like, a prosecutor can never be president or hold office. Nah, I disagree. Cause some things you do need prosecutorial oversight, and sometimes you do need a prosecutor that will throw the book at a person. Like, some motherfuckers need the book thrown at them. And in this case, she lost it, but if she would have took down the cops that killed Freddie Gray, I wouldn't have been sitting around like, well, that was too harsh. I would have been like, good, she got him. You know? So, some motherfuckers gotta go to jail. But shout out to Marilyn Mosby. And also, that says a lot about the system that you, like you said, Karen, we can be like, this person's not guilty, this is a they're innocent, and then there's still hurdles to get them out of jail.
Right, which makes no fucking sense. Like, they'll still be like, because the thing is, the bodies are the commodity. The body is what makes you money. So keeping them in jail is what makes you motherfucking money. That's what makes you money. So why would you release somebody if them being in jail is a profit to you?
Right, and these, the Gun Trace Task Force was convicted of federal racketeering charges. The RICO officers were convicted for robbing, conducting illegal searches, justifying arrests by lying on court documents, and more. So you got thousands of convictions related to these officers.
Yeah, they got
this is a lot more work than I'm sure it would have been easier for Marilyn Mosby to be and Barron to be like, you know what, dog, that wasn't on my watch. Good luck, innocent black people in prison. Good luck. It would be a lot. They made more work for themselves by being like, the right thing to do is to look into these cases and overturn these motherfuckers.
Right, because y'all have shown that most of these people don't need to be in jail.
Right.
But like this, and even if they do, y'all fucked it up, so right. We got to let them go, even if they deserve to be in jail.
Yep. Let's see what else we got here. Oh man, all these stories are downers. Here's one. A man was killed after shots were fired at NBA YoungBoy in Miami. Rapper NBA YoungBoy has reportedly been shot at in a shooting near Trump International Beach Resort in Miami. Authorities said two people were injured in the Sunday afternoon shooting at the Alamo rental car along Collins Avenue, which is across the street from the Trump Resort. One of the injured included a 19-year-old woman who was rushed to the hospital. Her condition was not disclosed. A third victim was shot dead. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. The identities have not been released. Photos of the scene show first responders putting a victim in the back of an ambulance. Another photo shows a man lying on the ground with hands in the air as police surround him. Some witnesses have claimed the shooting was a result of a road rage incident, while others have said three suspects just opened fire on the victims during the drive-by. Sunny Isles Beach Police said the suspects were armed with AK-47 and several handguns. Two suspects have reportedly been arrested. Authorities said the Trump International Beach Resort has been locked down. Guests have been told to stay in their rooms until the scene is clear. The shooting comes just a day after it was reported that YoungBoy was feuding with rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine's baby mama, Sarah Molina, and hip-hop podcaster Adam 22. Yo, man, after Textone, I don't know why anybody fucking with these hip-hop podcasters, dog. Like, mm-hmm. Niggas is out here taking this shit super serious.
For real. It's real in the streets.
Yeah. Like, I love podcasting, but I ain't never killing a nigga over this shit.
A nigga know if that's the case, I'm on Sesame Street.
Then just don't like me.
I'm okay with you not liking me. That's fine.
You got podcast beef with me, then that's just between you and the Lord, because I'm staying out of it.
Staying out of it.
I will write up to you at the motherfucking gas station and hey, how you doing? And keep it moving.
And keep it going, dog. It is not that motherfucking important to me.
Killing people, dog.
Mm-mm.
Shooting at people and shit.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Podcasting ain't that real to me.
Right?
I am not trying to represent my set that bad.
Niggas banging over Webby Awards.
Come on.
Like, come on now.
Come on, banging up a studio time? I don't think so.
Niggas gonna take a life to get on a BuzzFeed list?
Mm-mm.
Molina.
Nigga, I tell them to take my name off the goddamn list. It ain't that important to me.
Molina appeared on Adam 22's podcast last week and claimed YoungBoy sent her a video and cursed her out after she gave an opinion on his music. Because someone asked me in my live, like, what do you think of YoungBoy's music? I think he's disrespectful, so I said, I think he's an angry little boy. Then he hit me up, stop talking about me, bitch. I mean, way to prove it right. Earlier this year, Youngboy was arrested at Hyatt House in Atlanta on disorderly conduct charges alongside Star Thigpen. Atlanta Police Department said at the time the housekeeping staff entered the room, which they thought was unoccupied, and Youngboy instructed Thigpen to get the staff out the room. Police said Thigpen struck the housekeeper in the face, and the fight continued in the hallway.
Shit.
The two also charged with marijuana possession involving less than an ounce. So it sounds like he just is about that motherfucking life.
Mm-mm. I'm not about that life. I'll be the first nigga to tell you I'm not about that life at all.
Man, people out here trying to kill folks, man. Like, Offset got shot at, this shit.
It ain't that important to me, y'all.
Like, I don't know who gonna lose their life over this shit, but it seems like after Nipsey still, people just out here living dangerously, man. Let's see what else is happening. How marriage became a status symbol for millennials. Fewer millennials are getting married than in previous generations, but those who are tying the knot share one important trait: money. Not even 4 out of 10 millennials were married in 2016, compared with almost 6 out of 10 young adults in the late 1980s. Representing a generational shift away from the altar, a recent paper for the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis notes, millennials are far more likely to be living with a partner or to be single than their parents at their age. In other words, and their generation shift away from marriage may be less a matter of choice and more the result of economic factors that have made the institution less approachable. Young adults born between 81 and 1996 have remarkably similar tastes as previous generations. They're just much poorer, the data shows, and that's putting marriage out of reach for all except the wealthiest of their generation.
Yeah, when you got thousands in a house and a car, student loan debt, you know, when you got credit card debt, you know, when your job is barely paying enough to pay these student loans back, you know, people got degrees and doctorates and shit, and they want you to motherfucking work minimum wage. How the fuck you gonna pay that loan back? You know, shit like that matters.
Yeah, and I think that's also why you see people getting married later in life.
And having children later in life, too.
Because you can't afford it. Right. You know, us having this generation that is saddled with debt, who are going to earn less than their parents did, who's, you know, and not to mention the just fucking completely negative environment about millennials, right? Every newspaper article, they're too lazy, they're too broke, we saddled you with debt generationally, and so now you can't do things that we took for granted, like get out of college, take a job that doesn't make that much money, and live on your own. Now you can get out of college and get that job, and you still need to stay home if you want to break even at some point, you know, sooner rather than later,
right?
Because you never gonna pay back student loans while paying rent. Right, so, and you know, money is the number one cause of divorce, and yeah, that strain on a relationship, you're not even gonna be able to build a marriage, let alone sustain one, with all that money, that debt on your ass.
Right, like things like that matter, and I don't know why people act like that shit don't matter, because like you said, the millennials are not the problem. Most millennials, all jokes aside, they work harder than the generations before them. A lot of them literally work 2 and 3 jobs. A lot of them got a part-time job, another job, a side hustle, a hustle for the hustle, and then a hustle for the hustle. Like, they're a hard-working generation, and sometimes they don't get the credit that's due because people just judge them.
Well, the other thing too, and this is just something that I think is going to be a trend that will continue as long as women have had more choices, they're going to get married less. Like, marriage to a man is not the proposition that people think it is.
Mm-mm.
It's only been the great proposition because society held women back in a way that access to a man allowed them access to some of their male privilege, and therefore it was a smart business venture to connect to a man. Right, I can't leave the house because my whole life I'm connected to a man, my father, and then passed on, literally someone pays a dowry, mm-hmm. and then I'm passed on as a business proposition to another man, which will allow me things like hopefully home ownership, having children, maybe even the ability to work and earn an income. If not that ability to work and earn an income, I will use my skills around the house, that is labor, and he'll earn the bread and come home. Well, motherfuckers don't earn bread enough to be fucking taking care of no woman and no children anymore. That's a thing of the past.
Come on.
And then the other part of it is, women make enough money now where if you're gonna be in debt anyway, I can do bad by myself.
Come on,
women are going to college longer, being higher educated, earning more money than they used to, and they're still, this is still at that 77 cent on the dollar, whatever it is, and it's still better because once you strap yourself to a man, you strap yourself to more work at home.
Yes, you do.
You might strap yourself to more work because of childcare.
More debt.
Like you know, even a wedding is a debt now.
Yes, it is.
So the proposition for women are kind of, and this is not to saying one is good or bad, but women are kind of becoming the men, you know, and I don't mean mm-hmm. the men as in like mm-hmm. they lead the household, but the men as in men had options all this time. Like we always go, oh, this guy's a confirmed bachelor, or this guy's never gonna get married, or whoa, this guy waited till he's 40 to get married. And we go, why did that happen? Because the proposition for having a woman for a man was not always the same financial proposition. Mm-mm. It was, you know what I'm saying, the argument was always pitched to you as some like, this is the mature thing to do, this is the this look at the labor that'll happen in your house for you without you even wanting, like trying, like now someone will cook and clean for you, you know, that kind of shit. But men have always been like, I like the access to different women and doing whatever I want to do more than I like the access to one woman and having to build a life around that.
Right.
And women now get to have that feeling.
Right. They get to have the choice of A, I don't want to settle down. Yes, I want to have multiple partners if I choose to. No, I don't want to have one man. You know, I want to sleep around. That's my right. That's my choice. And you
even
know,
if they don't want to sleep with anybody,
right,
they're still coming out ahead.
Yes,
the
they
average
are.
You know, the average sexual intercourse with a man anyway, with in cis heterosexual sexual entanglements, most women are not going to be sexually satisfied in that type of way anyway.
Correct.
So what would be the fucking point of, you know what I'm saying, like it's not even necessarily the proposition that you can have with men, which is that, well, a man will almost certainly always be sexually satisfied and assist. Now obviously this whole conversation is cis heteronormative, but
correct,
a man will almost always be sexually satisfied in that type of way, so it's not even the same argument you can make for women, which is just like, well, I just like having different dicks or whatever. Like literally men are just a bad proposition, they're a bad investment.
Yeah, and women have the right to say no, and that's the thing that all these fucked up laws we've been talking about before,
right,
that's what they're trying to strip the true. Right for you not to have choice, mm-hmm. the right for you to tie yourself back to men again,
right.
The right to decrease your income so you have to depend on men, the right for to take away birth control and abortions so that if you have an unwanted pregnancy, now you have to keep it. We're stripping away all your choices, so you know now, you know, you can't wait till you're 40, you know, so it's basically don't fuck. As a woman, don't fuck at all, because if you slip around and fucking get pregnant, that's literally the end for you. And you know, and like you say, it's one of those things where most women are forced to be, not all, but most are forced to be fiscally responsible. A lot of men aren't even forced to be fiscally responsible a lot of times. And so then you have me, if I'm somebody's fiscally responsible and I take care of my shit and I get with the man that's not fiscally responsible, I don't want to tie my debt up with his and he's not fiscally responsible. I have a choice to be like, no nigga, get your shit straight.
Yo, you made a really great point. Yeah, all these laws are about taking away women's ability to say no. Even right. That sexual assault law is really about, you should not even charge somebody or attempt to get justice for being sexually violated, because if you don't get them, and you probably won't in a court of law, we are going to make it so that you're now the one on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really astute observation that you made, Karen. Mm-hmm. And then Greg says, lately most guys look to marry a housekeeper, not a friend. That has always been true. Like, literally, it's just, at least in America, I mean, probably everywhere, but at least in America, it has always been pitched to men that you marry a woman for what she does in the house, cleaning, cooking, raising your kids, and then you go earn money. And that's the deal that we've made.
Right.
It's only recently that changed.
Right. That's that, you know, the deal is that my paycheck and my dick should be efficient enough, woman. Right. And, you know, a lot of women are literally fighting back against that. And that's why you have a lot of men that get highly upset, because for the first time ever, women are able to voice their opinion. See, men is like I say, women are a marginalized group. So you have this marginalized group because of social media and all these aspects. Having a place where they can actually talk about shit that generations of women have fucking had problems with, but never could voice it or never felt like they could voice it. You have a generation of women now that are being raised to be like, no, you know, he can't touch you, and no, he can't do this to you, and you got rights and you got choices. You want to get educated? Go get educated. Go get your degree. You don't have to get married now. You can wait. And men don't like that, because all of a sudden, for men, you're fucking up their pool of choices. Because, you know, just like when it comes to rich and poor, a lot of times people like to keep poor people dumb. You know, because if you keep poor people dumb, they don't know no better. They won't make better choices. They won't make better decisions because they're not, the lack of education. And so women got education, and that was quote unquote some of the worst things for men was for women to get educated, because once I get educated, I realize I have choices. Once I have choices and rights, that means I'll start thinking and thinking critically and challenging you and looking at shit and going, well, why does it have to be this way? And why does it have to be that way? And all of a sudden, men lose control over the situation, because a lot of this shit is about control. You lose control over the situation because now all of a sudden you have a wife that won't write. You got a wife all of a sudden that wants to work. You got a wife that wants to be educated. And a lot of these laws too, they stem from men's fragile egos. You know, their egos can't take a woman being highly educated. Their egos a lot of times can't take a woman making more money than they do. Not all men, quote unquote, but for a lot of men, this shit matters. You hear men all the time, I got to get my money right, got to get my money right, got to get my money right, because as far as they're concerned, they got to have more money than a woman, you know, than the woman that they're with, because if she makes money, all of a sudden she can make the decisions that a man can make. All of a sudden she can leave me lonely and by myself and broke and busted and all that other shit that men do to women. You know, men know men are terrible, but you know, and they never want to be on the other side of that. So that's why they have a lot of these hang-ups about shit, because, you know, I feel like if I make money, we make money. You make money, we make money. But I realize a lot of households don't function like that. A lot of households are constantly a battle of the sexes, like the fucking internet. You like, y'all, if this is supposed to be your loved one, why are y'all fussing and fighting and you bringing all this battle of the sexes in the household? It's supposed to be one. It's dumb.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. Thinking about how often, like, marriage now is gonna be a mark of we have some money. It's just like, it's not gonna be a mark. I mean, maybe it's always been that way, but I guess now less people can afford the money to be in the marriage camp.
Correct.
And then, you know, marriage changes people's taxes and, you know, the trajectory of relationships and financial stability and stuff. So it's just crazy that basically a whole generation of people is being robbed of what really was not as big a deal, you know, back in the day, that now it's a huge deal to get married.
Right, because years ago, people didn't always have the money, but people go, fuck it, get married anyway. And now people are like, you might not want to make that choice. And, you know, also a lot of people still buy into the tradition of dowries, you know, and paying and all that stuff. Cause I remember when we got married, my mom was like, well, I don't have the money, you know, to pay for, you know, a wedding and things like that. And I was like, you're not getting married. I am. I'm very non-traditional like that. I was like, I don't want a wedding, like, right. You know, I'm good, like, nope, don't scrape your coins, don't do none of that. I'm opting to opt past that because it's debt and it's money that I don't have. And we got married really young, so I'm like, well, bitch, bills don't stop just because you got married. You still owe shit. So, and I know everybody functions differently, but that's how my mind functioned. I was like, that is an unnecessary bill that I didn't want in my life.
Are you often angry or irritable, you may be depressed.
Agreed.
Registered nurse Ebony Monroe of Houston recently went through a period of being quick to anger about every little thing. She didn't realize that then what it might mean for her health. If you had told me in the beginning that my irritability was related to depression, I would probably be livid. I did not think irritability aligned with depression, she says with a laugh. She's not alone. Many people, including physicians, associate depression with feelings of hopelessness, sadness, and lack of motivation or concentration, but not anger. Some researchers say that's a problem, given that there appears to be a strong link between irritability and depression. If you pick up what is often called the Bible of Psychiatry, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, you'll find that the list of core symptoms for major depression doesn't include anger. It's not included in all of the adult classification of depression, said Dr. Maurizio Fava, a psychiatrist at a Massachusetts General Hospital and a professor at Harvard Medical School. But he points out that irritability, a reduced control over one's temper that results in angry outbursts, is listed as a core symptom of depression for children and adolescents. It has never made sense to him that it's not included for adults. Why would someone who happens to be irritable and angry when depressed as an adolescent suddenly stop being angry at age of 18, he says.
Correct. And it's one of those things where being angry all the time can literally make you depressed. Like, a lot of people fail to realize that, like just being constantly angry will affect you. It mm-hmm. will.
Well, they're saying it's a symptom of the depression, not the other way around. Like, it's not the anger is causing the depression, it's the depression is causing the irritability and leading to the anger.
Okay,
because there are angry people that aren't clinically depressed, but they do have anger issues that correct. Are you know, I mean, you know, we've all seen it. You know, where it's just like, oh, that nigga is fucked up somehow, but I don't know that they depressed, but they are angry. But they're saying, like, you know, something that often isn't associated with depression, I think anger is not one of those things, right? Sadness, I sat in my bed, I cried all day, I did this, but no one talks about, like, the fact that so many people are just looking for things to be mad at.
Mm-hmm.
Raging all the time,
right?
Upset all the time, complaining about every fucking thing.
Yeah.
And you look at them and, you know, and I think maybe it's a distraction, maybe whatever, but part of me has always felt like, oh, there's something, like, sad.
Mm-hmm.
About the fact that, you know, you're always angry because there's something inside that's sad. It's not something inside that's just angry, but I feel like if you cut down the layers of the cake, you'll get to the to a sad center for a lot of these angry people.
Correct. It's like I have this emotion, and what do I do with it? And a lot of times everybody doesn't cry. Some people are like, I'm gonna take this depression and I'm just gonna be mad at the world.
Right. So, anger is an emotional and physical feeling that makes people want to warn, intimidate, or attack a person who is perceived as threatening. Fava says a depressed adult with lots of anger is often assumed to have bipolar disorder or personality disorder. We see it in clinics, patients who are labeled as having other diagnoses, because people think, well, you shouldn't be so angry if you're depressed, says Fava. The diagnosis matters because it affects the kind of treatment people get. Back when he was trained decades ago, Fava said he was taught that in depression, anger is projected inward, that depressed people would be angry at themselves but not at others. That didn't match what he was seeing in a lot of his patients with depression. I would say one in three patients would report to me that they would lose their temper, they would get angry, they would throw things or yell or scream or slam the door, says Fava. Afterward, these people would be filled with remorse. Fava thinks that these anger attacks may be a phenomenon that is similar to panic attacks. His research found that this kind of anger subsided in the majority of patients treated with antidepressants. Psychiatry has carefully studied how anxiety and depressed mood are experienced by patients, notes Fava, but anger has been relatively neglected. I don't think that we have really examined all the variables and all the levels of anger dysregulation that people experience. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist on any level, but I don't know. It kind of makes sense to me that a lot of these motherfuckers that are just raging, you know, and now we see more and more of each other's thoughts with the social media. So you see people, and we all know these fucking people. We're mm-hmm. all like, damn, that nigga mad again? Like, can't nobody do nothing right? Like, everything you got to go off, like, you can't just, like, because normal people, whatever, you know, not that they're not normal, but people throughout life experience a range of emotions. In a day, you experience a range of emotions.
Yes, you do.
We all see and share a certain thing, impulses and whatnot. But like, sometimes you see people that hold on to something so long, and you're like, you're holding on to that for some other reason than just, like, it could not be that impactful. There has to be something you're holding on to stronger than that.
To be,
you know, more is going on in your life than whatever this thing is.
And this thing you can focus on to distract from the other thing.
Yeah. Like, I saw a person on Twitter talking about how they were crying over Game of Thrones because they invested 10 years of their lives into a product that was ultimately about written by white men or some shit like that. And I was like, you need something stronger than tweets. Like, that sounds like something is going on in your life.
Right.
Cause it's just a TV show. Even if you hate it, even if you don't like it, it's just a TV show, man. You're an adult. You shouldn't be crying over this. You got real problems, real life, hopefully real relationships, real family. Those people are make believe. You know, those fucking angry ass, Gamergate ass nerds that attach themselves to like Star Wars, and they're like, you know, constantly making their entire life about like shitting on The Last Jedi. Y'all ain't mad at The Last Jedi, dog. Like, I don't know if nobody gonna tell you, but it's more than that, homie.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than Luke Skywalker would never do that, homie, that is making you react that way, you know? You know, let alone what people might be like in real life, like to mean to people you love or people in your proximity at work and shit. And it's all stemming off of this possible, you know, you could be just misdiagnosed. Or never diagnosed at all. You could be dealing with depression, right, and not recognizing it because you're like, I'm angry, I'm not depressed. You know, I don't know. It's just something to think about.
It is.
So yeah. Good luck to everybody. You know, hopefully that helps somebody, may raise some awareness or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know somebody that's angry all the time and you're like, nigga, you are depressed and need to talk to somebody. I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like somebody in the chat room say, they think everybody needs therapy at some point in their life and it should be free. Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, all Agreed. Black people should get free therapy. If you're black in America, you should get it for free.
It's just trauma. It's just a lot that happens.
Yeah, like, let's see what else. Let's get into some fucking with black people, guys. What am I fucking with black people music?
I thought I've been fucking with all shit.
Nope, none of these is about being black. Nice try, Karen. Nice fucking try.
I'm still being fucked with.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe, makes them feel fucked with, and we assign point scores 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, see who's fucking with us today, guys. Howard University alum Diddy and Jay-Z launching new black-owned app showing love to black-friendly businesses in any given city.
Oh.
Wow. You corporatist capitalist slime. So y'all really gonna encourage black people to go be unwilling victims of black capitalists that's gonna gouge the prices on them for being black? I'm on to your shit, Sean Corey Carter. You ain't slick with that bullshit. This is exactly what's the problem with you, okay? You gonna gentrify the apps now? You gonna gentrify people's phones? I hate you.
I like this because sometimes, you know, you be like, I want to be, you know, go where the black people are.
Mm-hmm. That's because he got you fooled, Karen.
Well, then I'm a sucker.
There's one thing we all know about Sean Diddy Combs, the fact that he isn't working, he's working. His new endeavor is nothing short of motivational, however. GQ magazine interviewed Howard University alumni and his business partner Jay-Z last year in March to discuss their partnership with a new app that is black owned, the show that shows love to black friendly businesses in any given city. Diddy said, this is not about taking away from any other community. We'll still go to Chinatown. We'll still buy Gucci. He laughed, but the application will make it possible for us to have an economic community. It's about blacks gaining economic power. He and Jay-Z have been talking about this, he said, about moving the race forward actively by means of making a lot of money and putting it back into the community. Interesting. But I heard Jay-Z was a coon and was encouraging people to use capitalism to destroy the community. So I guess it's off brand. Anyway, Karen, 0 to 100?
Zero.
I give it a zero as well. I was not fucked with it all. Let's see what else we got. A man was sentenced to 10 years for attempting to hire a hitman to kill a black neighbor.
Oh.
A white South Carolina man who pleaded guilty to trying to hire a hitman from the Ku Klux Klan to kill a black neighbor has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison.
Apparently it went wrong.
I guess so. Must have not seen black Klansmen. U.S. District Judge Bruce Hal Hendricks sentenced 26-year-old Brandon LaCroix on Thursday. The state reported Hendricks ruled that LaCroix's offense qualified as a hate crime, but noted that the plan to have someone else killed was so serious she would have given him 10 years even if race wasn't a factor. 10 years, the maximum sentence for the offense. She's like, this is so bad, even if it wasn't, it was bad before it was racist. And then when it got racist, then the shit got real, real bad. 10 years. It's one thing to think these thoughts, but it's a crime to undertake to do harm to another, Hendricks said. That still feels kind of soft that she said it. It's one thing to think about killing black people for no reason, but it's a whole nother other thing.
You put it in play.
I mean, who hasn't thought about killing a nigga? I mean, come on. But you took it to the next level by actually picking up that phone.
You didn't have to.
Hendricks
could have kept them thoughts to yourself.
Hendricks' ruling came after a spirited argument by LaCroix's attorney, federal public defender Erica Soderdahl, who said race didn't play a role. She said LaCroix was trying to get rid of an extremely troublesome neighbor who happened to be African American. But then why do you hire the Klan? I guess if you want somebody killed, all right. The neighbor identified only by the initials FJ. Feminist Jones.
I hope not.
Kept coming on the LaCroix's property trying to start fights. Freddie Jackson. Oh my God, that's what happened to him. And asking for food. He kept coming on the LaCroix's property, starting fights, and asking for food and to use the phone. LaCroix had repeatedly tried to get local police to help to keep the neighbor from trespassing, but to no avail, she said. But FJ kept coming back. So that all said, it's not about an overriding feeling toward a race. It's about one individual. I didn't want to kill niggers. I wanted to kill that nigger. Okay? I'm an innocent man.
Just that one.
It's not a hate crime so much in that I hate black people. It's a hate crime in that I hate that black motherfucker right there, Your Honor. You gotta let me go. Finally, in desperation after police wouldn't act, LaCroix went onto the internet and found a Western South Carolina area code for a local KKK chapter. This is almost worse than being racist. I'm sorry. Right. Even if he not racist, this is worse. He like, I'm not racist, but who else is gonna kill a nigga besides the Klan?
Duh!
I only had a few options. The police wouldn't do it. I kept calling. I thought they specialized in this. They kept
passing.
Apparently
no.
How hard, I look at the internet every day. How hard is it to get a nigga killed by the cops? I mean, Jesus Christ.
I see a case every day.
You think it wasn't happening 2 to 3 hours apart. I mean, you just, what is happening here? I gotta get out. I'm gonna call the Klan.
Fuck it. I do it myself.
1-800 the Klan. Yes, I need some help. Brandon called KKK because who else is he going to call? Said his lawyer. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. Yo. Why would I ever want to be a defense lawyer? See, this is the thing y'all Negroes, y'all wokes don't talk about. Y'all always like to talk about the innocent black people getting jammed by the system, and I agree on those, but what about when the defense gotta defend the Klan, man? And he up there telling me, well, who else is he gonna call? I mean, the KKK, the only people he know that kill niggers. And they really tried that out as a defense, and I'm supposed to be like, yeah, I don't want Kamala to lock him up. Lock his ass up.
Lock him up.
She also told the judge that LaCroix had been bullied and beaten by his father from the time. Here we go.
What did that got to do with you calling the Klan, sir?
So listen, he got whoopings. So I mean, sometimes you gotta call the Klan on him. Like, what? Everybody got whoopings, sir. This is South. Everybody down here, they got whoopings. We not all calling the Klan to kill a nigga. That'd be the best twist of the story, is he was black too.
Duh.
I mean, we know he's white, but that would be the best twist if it was like, I'm black myself. I don't hate black people. I hate Tyrone, okay? He come on my house, he eating on my chicken, he's using my goddamn phone, he's staring at my wife's booty.
I didn't know nobody else that would do the job better than a Klan.
He's staring at my wife's booty, okay? I don't know the call to the alt-right. I don't do that internet shit. I just called 1-800-THE-KLAN and asked him to kill a nigga.
Like somebody said, he looked through the yellow pages.
Yeah, how did he get caught?
How did he find a number?
Good grief. Like, what the fuck happened that somehow you got caught with that shit? That's ridiculous. Oh my God. I wonder what that phone call was like. You know?
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America. With the right white man, we can do anything.
Oh my God.
That's how that went.
Jesus Christ. Your Honor, the fact that you reached out to the KKK, this is not a low functioning individual, said Watkins, the assistant U.S. attorney. It's telling that to get a black person living that he turned to the KKK. Right. I just don't see why it's racist. He called the KKK. You can't. What? His lawyer was really like,
is this KKK or us?
Right. His lawyer was really like, Your Honor, don't get caught up on that bullshit about the KKK, okay? That don't make him a racist because he wants a black person killed by the KKK. He doesn't call a biker gang. What he had in mind for his neighbor was very specific. He targeted him because of his race. He also can be heard using racist language, making references to historically violent KKK symbols in the secret audio recordings that law enforcement officials made. He said LaCroix also suggested to the undercover agent posing as the KKK hitman that he could use a flaming cross. I was set up, Your Honor.
Which wasn't always their symbol.
What kind of Marion Barry ass shit was this? A bitch set me up?
A bitch set me up.
Jesus Christ. This motherfucker. LaCroix pleaded guilty last fall to being part of a murder plot for hire. He was dressed in an oversized orange jumpsuit in court. His lawyer said LaCroix was too nervous to speak, but he wanted the judge and everyone. Well, you were too nervous when he was on that fucking phone, mm-hmm. You racist. He wanted everyone to know you regretted his actions and apologized for him.
Word.
Wow. That's crazy. And shout out to that judge, a woman named Bruce. Never seen that before. 0 to 100, Karen.
Zero.
Yeah, I give it, but give it 100. Give it 100. I'm fucked with. This nigga called the Klan and was like, I'm still not racist. This just goes back to my motherfucking point. What does a white person have to do to be racist?
Nothing. Nothing is racist nowadays.
That motherfucker called the Klan to kill a black person, called them racial slurs on the phone, and asked they use racist symbolism in killing the black man, and still was like, I'm not racist, Your Honor, okay? We all have
racist.
We all have bad days. You know, none of us are our worst day. Get out of here. All right, last one. Virginia EMT, that's an emergency medical technician, who made racist remarks on a white supremacist podcast, loses his job.
Good.
Yeah, that guy's come to your house after you had a heart attack. You just never know.
I will start investigating anybody, be like, if they died and for real, and go in and be like, hey, you know, did these people die on your watch? Did you follow proper procedure?
Patrick McNabb is his name. He's been let go by Jeb Stuart Rescue Squad months after racist comments surfaced on a podcast in which he compared black patients to gorillas and claimed to take immense satisfaction as he terrorized an African-American boy with a needle.
That's what I say. I would go back through his files.
So glad they got him, obviously. But I have to ask, what made him think to do this? Let me go on a racist podcast and talk about my job and admit that I'm literally terrorizing the community of black people when I'm called. But What, how did you expect that to go?
And
it's
nobody,
a podcast.
And nobody to recognize you because you probably went into details about it. And people, somebody was like, hey, I know who that is.
You put that out to the world, dog.
To the world, dog.
Holy shit.
To the world, Craig.
Yeah. Ren Williams, attorney for Patrick County, Virginia Rescue Squad, sent a statement from the board saying, during executive sessions, the pros and cons of Mr. McNabb's continued relationship with the squad were discussed. A legal opinion from outside legal counsel was shared among the board members, and the board members shared their personal thoughts. The board did not state exactly why it fired McNabb, but it did so after discussions in an executive session on Sunday. The squad placed McNabb on unpaid leave in December, 2 days after news reports of his comments surfaced. Unpaid leave, huh? McNabb said it's his First Amendment rights to say things he has said, and that it was all said while he was pretending to be a fictional character he created named Dr. Narcan. He has not responded to CNN for a request for comment. Last month, he was cleared of wrongdoing by Virginia Department of Health, and investigations focused solely on whether any alleged violations of Virginia's EMS regulations have occurred. Those regulations stipulate that EMS personnel may not discriminate based on race, gender, After 2 month investigation in which fellow employees were interviewed and the patient care was investigated, the health department said it determined there's no substantial evidence to support any violation of the regulations.
Ask that to the black people they terrorized.
Though it looks like they did. Well, you know what? I don't know if they did or not. They're claiming they investigated patient care, but what does that mean? Did you talk to the patients, or do you just say, like, none of these niggas died?
Right.
You know? The department began investigating McNabb last year after receiving anonymous complaints about him using racist and anti-Semitic rhetoric on social media. The complaints expressed concerns he could be harming or mistreating patients of color. So yeah, he was also on his Twitter and whatever, telling on himself. McNabb, 35, who's a part-time EMT, has commented frequently on white supremacist podcast called The Daily Shoah. I don't know. McNabb has been a frequent co-host of the podcast whose title mocks the Holocaust. The comments with McNabb later claimed on Twitter would be a work of fiction ignited a debate on whether he could render adequate care to vulnerable minority and Jewish. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't want to have to debate it.
That's why they got rid of them. They was like, no, we don't want these problems.
Why would it need to be debated? That's the fucking problem right there. Well, I welcome you to a rigorous debate, good sir. Like when you show up, if I cut my arm and this guy shows up and he's like, well, sir, before I administer first aid, I'd just like to let you know I hate niggers. Just kidding. It's a joke. Just a character I played, Dr. Narcan. Let me go ahead and see your arm. No, I think you're going to kill me. Well, sir, it's my First Amendment right. And I'd love to debate it with you right now if you got time, while you're bleeding out. Fuck that. No, you just don't get to do this job. Whew, so many people in dangerous positions and harboring horrible judgment by telling this shit in public, and horrible like feelings by believing these things.
Agreed.
Wow. The fact that they investigated him for a year or whatever before firing him is crazy. Seemed like it would be immediate, like, oh, you said that on social media, you're gone.
I might be wrong, but I got a feeling they thought it was gonna go away. The shit didn't go away. They was like, you got to go.
He kept doing the podcast and shit.
Right. If he would have just shut the fuck up, he could have kept his job. But he kept on. They was like, no, you got to go.
Yeah, his account got suspended on Twitter. So good job, Jack. You finally got one. He did not comment directly to CNN, but beyond indicating in a tweet that he was undergoing a character assassination attempt, you played a character that was racist, and you have a job that serves the public, quote unquote, and that's if you believe you served a character. In one podcast from October 4, 2016, first reported by the Huffington Post, McNabb tells of an emergency call to what he characterizes a black apartment complex that medics called Ebola Alley. Using the Dr. Narcan persona, he refers to a black woman as a shade to Rambi, the name of the famous gorilla. Though McNabb has maintained his words were all part of a fictional story, after describing a diabetic ER patient and the doctor who collects toenails, he told his podcast co-host in 2016, both those stories are real. Later in the same podcast, in a Dr. Narcan story, that McNabb doesn't label as fact or fiction, he speaks on an unruly young African-American male child who needed to have blood drawn. So guess who volunteered to take his blood? Dr. Narcan enjoyed great immense satisfaction as he terrorized this youngster with a needle and stabbed him thusly in the arm with a large gauge 9 I guess, I don't know, for catheter. In an interview conducted by the Virginia Department of Health, investigator McNabb was asked if he had done anything intentionally or unintentionally that can be construed as discriminating in patient care. He responded, absolutely not. I've been extremely vocal about how this would not ever be something that would happen. Yeah, get him the fuck out of here. He should go to jail.
Correct.
That should be illegal, what he did. That's crazy. 100 for me.
This one, yes, 100.
Yeah, gotta give it 100. All right, let's get into some guess the race, guys. Do a little something fun, okay? Nigga say you playing a racist character.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one play game going across all of podcast land, where people listen to or me read articles and then they guess the race of the people involved, and today is no exception. And of course Karen plays along, and she and the rest of you guys are racist, and the chat room plays as well. Let's see, parents go to did we do this? Parents go to court to kick their son out of the house. Yeah, we did this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So I was trying to get through some of these old ones. And yeah, I remember this story. All right, how about this one? The case against the ex-warden Nate Kane and ex-wife in alleged ripoff of, what is this? Ovalle's prison to move forward. Wait, we covered this as well. But we were just talking about the corruption of it, not the... all right, let's try another one. How about, I'm gonna scroll all the way down and get this one. Walworth County officials use a drone to catch a fleeing suspect. Walworth County officials utilize a drone with thermal imaging technology to track down a fleeing suspect in Lake Geneva. According to the Lake Geneva Police Department, shortly after 1 a.m., officers were called to Sugar Shack Club on County Highway H for a large fight that broke out.
Sugar Shack.
Yeah, it's a large fight at the Sugar Shack. Sounds like shit wasn't sweet.
Mm-mm. That's not like a banging barbecue joint.
Mm-hmm. During the altercation, officials say 26-year-old Tyler Bohot of St. Joseph, Missouri, fled the scene in a pickup truck. Officers gave pursuit, but he got away. A short time later, he was located in the town of Lynn, where deputies from the county sheriff's office gave pursuit once again. A city of Lake Geneva officer was able to successfully deploy stop sticks on the road.
Those things they put out with the punctured tires. Yeah, the spikes
or whatever, yeah. So then Bohot fled the vehicle. Officers tracked him fleeing eastbound by footprints in the snow and sent tracking by Walworth County's Sheriff's Officer K-9 officers. Authorities then deployed a drone with heat signature technology, and within minutes they located him.
Damn.
They not playing with these drones, dog.
Mm-mm.
He was found unconscious in a wooded area. How was he unconscious? What happened? He's taking
it. I done ran into something running. Like, you know, you find it black. Yeah.
He was taken into custody without incident, treated at a hospital, and booked into jail. He was charged for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. So, all right, Karen, guess the race of Tyler Bohot.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Black, he was too fast to catch on feet. Ha! White. Technology can't detect black people, so white. it's good, Joe. White, says Trey. All right, looks like most of the guesses are. That's all the guesses are going to get. White, white. The correct answer is white. A couple of you did miss it, though. Thought we would have got a black for the fact he got away at night, but okay. He was white. You got it right, Karen.
He got a long face.
He does have a water long face, buddy. Oh man, let's see what else happens. Happened in here. A 4-year-old was rescued from an alleged Texas drug house, where he told the police that rats and roaches were his friends.
What?
Yeah, so when you know life ain't going too good, when you gotta have rats and roaches as your friends, like, damn.
I know that baby was bit the hell up.
I know.
Oh no.
I wonder if that's where the song came from. A 4-year-old Texas boy is now in protective custody after being rescued from a reputed drug house, where he was allegedly forced to live inside of a closet with his only visitors, the rats and cockroaches that infested the dilapidated home. Yeah. That's unfortunate, homie. Now that's your friend. The boy's court appointed attorney tells people he told the authorities who found him that the pests were his friends. It reminds me of the 85 South song.
I remember I seen the ropes filled in that candle. He was burning, looking at me like, nigga, help me. Spray some Raid on a roach in the hood. It don't do them no good. They just be like, nigga, now I'm wet. Don't spray that shit on me, cause I'm going to the bathroom. Some holes under the toilet. We gon' have a roach party. And I had some crumbs that you dropped earlier from the kitchen that went under the refrigerator. My baby mama said that she was mad at me. Took them crumbs over there, then crawled and got some cereal. Had them bitches at the crib, and now we eating honeycomb. You didn't know roaches was part of the economy. Cause everything you drop the roaches, they gon'
eat it up, my G.
Yes, they is.
Roaches keep your house clean.
Yeah, they keep your house clean.
Roaches keep your house clean.
They be like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it. They be like you drop some, but hey, my nigga, I got it.
They be like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
They be like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
Roach over here. Roach in your hair. Roach in your back. Roach in your snare. Roach on your plate. Roach in your skates. Roach everywhere. Oh, we got roaches.
Everybody had roaches.
I feel like that's what that kid was going through every day.
Come on.
He said that was his friends. Yeah, so then the boy's court appointed attorney tells people the boy told authorities who found him the pest of his friends. Considering the circumstances, he is doing good, says Rachel Lee Hudson.
I couldn't imagine them having to shake him down and shoot him with a fucking water hose.
Yeah. They're trying to ensure he has a normal life as possible. Authorities allege the Houston house where they found the boy was used to manufacture and distribute methamphetamine. Officers raided the home, finding the locked closet door and the child inside. Lil Hudson tells
the baby was locked in there.
Yeah, tells people it is not known how long the boy was in the closet. She alleged that he was sometimes left for hours at a time. His 32-year-old mother, April Burrier, was not in the house at the time of the raid. Of course not. She was arrested when she returned home and was charged with endangering a child. It was unclear Wednesday if she had entered a plea to the charge or had an attorney who would comment on her behalf. She's being held for an unknown amount of bail. The authorities say the home's alleged owner, Daniel Clark Morris III, remains at large and they're asking the public's help in finding him. Police allege the drug paraphernalia and sex toys were found right outside the closet. The boy also alleged to authorities he was forced to sit on top of a tall refrigerator as punishment for sneaking out of that closet. He said he was afraid he would fall asleep and plummet to the floor. The boy's father is allegedly trying to regain custody of the child, but attempts to reach the father were unsuccessful. Karen, guess the race of his mama and dude on the house.
Oh, everybody's white.
Karen's going, everybody's white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. White, says Marlene, and she said, meth, that's white. Thanks, Lord. Could be Hispanic, but I'm going to go fix her up or white. Sequel to Quan Mills' first book. This was called This Hoe Got Rats in Her Crib Too, Black. Aww. I think that is a sequel, like This Hoe Got Roaches and Rats. They call Cassidy a white, white. Joe's apartment now a cracked in white. Poor white baby. Hot damn mess. Happy Crystal. Meth Miss White. Chalky White. Methy White. Martha. The correct answer is white. Everyone got it right. They be like, you drop some, but hey, my nigga, I got it. That's a jam, man. Them boys talented. Yeah, that's the mom right there. Lee, whatever her name was, April. Yeah,
and that poor baby was locked in the closet, probably fucking outside the door.
Yeah, sex toys right outside the door with a kid in the closet. And then that's the homeowner they're looking for.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna be able to see him.
I don't know. He's looking in all the directions.
Yeah, you don't want to cross him, if you know what I mean. He's got a anyway, let's get to
that's part of why they can't catch him. You see him coming
from any direction,
in all the directions.
All right, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2-for-2. Woo-hoo! But let's see if she can finish on a strong note and go 3-for-3. The very rare Karen 3-for-3.
I'ma try.
All right, we'll see if you can do it. Chocolate and blood all over. An off-duty New York City cop goes on a rampage in the Connecticut Godiva shop. A video of an incident at a Godiva shop in Stamford Town Center in Stamford, Connecticut shows a woman who identified herself as a New York City police officer threatening violence against employees. That's a lot of pressure to have that chocolate.
Come on, that chocolate good too though.
According to Stanford,
that's last $5 a bar.
According to the Stanford advocate Amanda Villafane, a 30-year-old probationary officer became enraged after she, her mother, and her companion were forced to open the door to the shop. According to employees, the door was closed because they were preparing to close the store. In the video, Villafane takes off her jacket as though she was going to start fighting someone due to the perceived disrespect to her mother. As tensions escalate, Villafane can be heard saying, "I will knock you the fuck out," to one of the employees. When the officer and her companion, Christopher Salvatore of Staten Island, noticed Ralph Jimenez, the brother of one of the employees, was filming, Salvatore punched him. According to the Stanford Police Sergeant Robert Shawinski, officers found chocolate and blood all over the floor.
Ooh.
When they arrived on the scene, Villafane was reportedly taken to the ground and handcuffed due to her rage at her arresting officers. She was charged with resisting arrest, threatening, criminal trespass, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. Salvatore received similar charges.
Well, I know she'd have whooped the Oompa Loompa's ass if she'd have lost the, if he'd have they'd have put her out at the chocolate factory.
What do you do when they shit on your mom?
Eddie came at that dance and she'd have gave everybody the business.
Good grief. Yeah, that's some high pressure sales right there.
Come on.
Let me see if I can find her picture, because the thing I was looking at wasn't showing her picture. like they took the video down. But I think I got it. All right, Karen, guess the race of this woman.
White.
Okay, Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room, see what y'all believe. Connecticut Godiva chocolate shop police officer equals Staten Island New York white. I will take back Godiva with chocolate and blood. Caucasus Targaryen.
Oh,
the white dragon.
What is wrong with y'all?
Oh man, I don't know why that just made me laugh so hard, man. Oh my god. This white, everybody's going with white on this one. This is so tough, guys. You know what? I'm gonna go with white. Karen, you got it. Now, the reason I'm going with white, because to me, she looks like she could be like Latinx or Latina or something. But Staten Island, New York City, she could be an Italian woman with a tan. I'm just not sure. You know what I mean? And when I'm not sure, hey, why not give it to Karen? She can finally go 3 for 3.
Come on.
But, you know, she kind of got, y'all see it? She looked like she could be, I think she might be like Latina or something. But then in this picture, like that, that's a picture she took with Bruce Willis. So I don't know I don't know what's going on with that one. You know, he probably thought she was Michelle Rodriguez. He probably racist. All right. So I'll just give it to you, Karen. Okay. Yay! Close enough. All right. Let's go to Sword Ratchetness and get out of here.
Ah, take it. Take it and run.
You need a win.
I do.
Yeah, someone said a Puerto Rican like J-Lo, you know. Yeah, I don't know, man. Plus, I don't know the rules up there. Like, Puerto Rican and Latina, they can say nigga according to black people up in New York. So, you know, the game is all fucked up there. I don't know the rules.
I don't know the rules. Down here, no.
Y'all setting them up to get fucked up in Charlotte. I know that much, but but up there, do your thing. Mount Holly, North Carolina. A 911 call was released just moments before a man with a sword was killed in an officer-involved shooting. Officials say the man started a fire and jumped from the window of a home in Mount Holly neighborhood Saturday morning. A woman called to say her son, who may have been on drugs, locked himself in a room, was pacing around during a confrontation with the caller's husband. She says her son threatened to shoot her husband. The caller told 911 operator she was unsure if there are any guns in the room, but believed there may have been knives in another room upstairs. Officials responded to the scene when they say the man identified Tuesday as 42-year-old Larry Hoover. Larry Hoover? Oh shit, Rick Ross? Reportedly started a fight in a second story bedroom. First responders who came to the scene said Hoover then jumped out of a window with a sword and ran away from the house. After jumping out the window, first responders say Hoover ran to another part of the neighborhood where, according to the SBI, 33-year-old Officer Lee Ferris fired his weapon. No details have been released about the moments that led to the shooting. Hoover died at the scene. Neighbor John Oakes said that he was listening to police scanners after he smelled smoke in the neighborhood to find out what was going on. Heard somebody say that somebody had jumped out of a window with swords or something. 11-year-old Gabby River, who lives in the neighborhood, said her mom saw, well, she saw the smoke. She told Gabby not to go outside. Gabby said she was thinking about a girl who says 5 or 6 years old, who she knows lives at the house because they ride the same bus to school. That was a girl that goes to my school, said Gabby. It's a tragic thing that happened, said Bradley Crisp. Oak said he often listened to police scanner traffic, but was surprised by what he heard today. Never heard anything like it, so it sort of shocked me when I heard what was going on. No further injuries were reported at the scene. Wow. Well, that's pretty wild, man. Drugs and swords, not a good combination out here, guys.
No, it's not.
Watch yourselves. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, ready to do our recap of Game of Thrones. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody listening and supports us. And until next time. Oh, and our Story Geeks podcast interview is up, and I will be putting it on the premium feed tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just try to remind myself to do it tonight. And I should also be putting out it's not a spoiler review, but it's the review that I did with Chris Lambert and JL Covan for The Intruder. I'm gonna put it on our premium feed, so okay. You guys can hear that review as well. So premium people, it's all coming up roses for you, baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, you paid in on this, and now you're reaping the benefits.
Yes, then later on, John Wick.
And then John Wick later this week. All right, y'all. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.